Okay, so as tempting as it is this week to pretend that the Parsha is not Mitzora and just talk about Shabbos HaGadol or Pesach or something like that, we won't. We will do our best here with Mitzora, which there is much in Mitzora, but it takes a bit of time to understand it, but we'll try to pull out at least a few ideas. So our Parsha, which with the exception of leap year, is always read with Parshas Tazria, the bulk of it discusses the laws of the Mitzorah, both the Tumah of the Mitzorah and the process of the purification of the Mitzorah. You know, we have three types of Mitzorah. We have the Mitzorah, we have Tzaras HaGuf, where the person himself contracts the disease, whatever exactly Tzara it is, cases where it is on his clothing, cases where it's on his house, and the Parsha deals with all of them. And then the Psukim describe the process of purification. And the psukim describe that this is how the parsha starts off. Zos tiye tarasa mitzvah biyom taraso. This is how you purify mluvah l'kohen. So he's taken to the kohen. V'yatzar kohen amuchutz l'machaneh v'ra'ah kohen v'neini yirpah negat tzarat mitzvah. So the kohen will take him outside of the camp because the mitzvah is the most stringent of all tumos. And therefore, he is kicked out of all of the camps, or in Eretz Yisrael, he'd be kicked out of Yerushalayim. V'tziva kohen lo'kachu mida'er shtei tziburim chayos te'aroz ve'etz erev v'shni salat ve'zov. Now, assuming that he is in fact cured, so then the kohen will begin the process of purifying him. Right? It's not enough that the disease has gone away. The kohen actually has to take him through the process. He takes the two birds. And he takes the hyssop and the cedar wood and the string, and then he kills the bird, and they mix it in the water, and then they take it with this bundle and they dip it into this bloody water, and they put it on the mitzvah seven times, and then he bathes and he shaves off all of his. His what? More? Okay. Thanks. He washes his clothes, etc. And they goes through all the karbanot. And then all the way at the way at the end, so then he has to bring the karbanot, right? Two lambs and a ewe, and then he has to bring a mincha, etc. And then they put the kohen puts it on his thumbs. And he puts a little bit of the oil on his thumbs, and he goes through this whole Tara process. Now, what I want to try to understand the Tumah of the Mitzorah and the process of the purification of the Mitzorah. Now, what seems to emerge from many different pieces of evidence, and we'll try to string them together, is that the Mitzorah is set up by the Chumash as the anti-Kohen. If we look in this week's Parsha, which is the process of his purification, so first of all, what we note is that his Tumah doesn't come purely from the disease. The Tumah comes only after the Kohen looks at it and declares that he is Tameh, to the point where Chazal say, under certain circumstances, the Kohen would refrain from calling him Tameh if he's a Chassan during the week of his wedding, so then you wait till afterwards, because the Tumah doesn't actually happen until the Kohen actually declares him Tameh. And the same is true with the process of purification. He doesn't become pure until the Kohen declares him pure, brings him through the process, doesn't matter if the disease has gone away. So that's on a simple level. The Kohen is the person who brings him in and out of the tumah. But more than that, if you look through the process, the description both of his tumah in last week and the Tara in this week, you'll find many parallels to the Kohanim. So, for example, he has the Psukim described that when he becomes a Mitzorah, so Rosho Yeh Faruah, right, Bigadav Yufrumim Rosho Yeh Faruah. His clothes have to be torn, and his hair has to grow out. Now that combination of Bigadav Yufrumim Rosho Yeh Faruah, we find the exact same thing by the Kohanim, but in reverse. That Kohanim have a prohibition. Right, the Kohen Gadol has a prohibition. He can't be mitabel. He can't mourn. And the Psukim say that his clothes cannot be frumim. They can't be torn, and he has an iser, all kohanim have an iser of rosham parua. Their hair can't be grown out, right? They have the kohanim can't have their hair grown out more than 30 days. The kohen gadol would get a haircut on a consistent basis, right? Every week, the melech every day, right? But his hair can't grow out, right? The mitzora is obligated to do that which the kohanim cannot do. And if you continue to the purification process in this week's parasha, so we find also several comparisons. For example, part of his purification thing, as we read, is he has to shave all of the hair on his body. I think you've already had. You had two pieces. The two pieces, Meir. Finish this, okay? You want your other snacks? Okay, so he has to shave all of the hair on his body. Now, shaving all the hair on the body was part of the process by which Kohanim and Levim were inducted into their roles as Kohanim and Levim. They had to shave all of their bodily hair, and then they could be purified and be brought in to the process. Similarly, the only other time we have this process of purification where you put this, right, you sprinkle on their thumbs, right, on their big toe and on their thumb, is also in the process of bringing the Kohen into his status as a Kohen, as a Kohen Ha'oveid. So both in the situation of his tumah, we find him as being the anti-Kohen, and in the process of Tara, we find him going through the same process as a Kohen, here to undo a status of tumah, in the Kohen's case, to add a status of Tara, not to mention, as we said at the beginning, the fact that the Kohen is the one responsible both for declaring him tumah and for making him tar. Right? He's not just the doctor, he's not just the one who diagnoses, he's actually the one who creates the status both of tumah and Tara. So, assuming that's the case, what does it mean for the Mitzora to be the anti-Kohen, or what is the significance of him being the anti-Kohen? So on a very simple level, before we even get to Chazal, if you just look at the Pesukim, the one thing we know about the Mitzora is that his Tumah causes distance from the Mikdash. Without getting into the question of the cause of his Tumah, or the cause of the Tzara'at, the Mitzora is the most stringent of Tumot, and is kicked out of all camps. He is as far from the Mikdash as possible. And the Kohen is inside the Mikdash. He is the one who serves in the Mikdash. So at a very simple level, without even getting to Chazal, the Mitzora really is the anti-Kohen. The Kohen is he who works in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mitzora is the one who is as far as you could possibly be from the Beis HaMikdash. He's kicked out from all of the camps. He has to be all the way out. And that's at a very simple level. But I think this connection also helps explain how Chazal knew where they got the notion that Tzara'at was a punishment for the sins that they delineate. Because you look at the Pesukim, there's actually no evidence that Tzara'at is a punishment for anything. And even if it is a punishment, we have no idea what it is. And Chazal, in Erech and Tezayin, say that it's a punishment for all these sins, right? For Lashon Hara, most famously, but also for others, think for Tzaras Ha'ayin, for being stingy, and for Gasas HaRuach, for being arrogant, for being haughty, and a list of other sins that it has. Now, where did Chazal not just get the fact that they assumed that this was for sin? I understand, right? They had a basic question, which is, why would there be a status of Tzara'at? So Chazal assumed it's because it must be a punishment, right?
They got Lashon Hara from Miriam.
Right, so part of it is also they get the Lashon Hara from Miriam, right? The Miriam gets Tzara'at when she tells Lashon Hara. But again, that could be an example of one person who gets it, but this whole list that all Tzara'at is caused by sin, and that it's this list of seven sins, so part of it is definitely from Miriam. But where do they get all the other sins? Right? So I think part of the answer is based on this connection. And this is what several people point out. Several people point out this connection. Each article I saw took a different approach, a different attack, and I think that they are all at some level true. So Rav Yitzchak Twersky lives in the Beit Daniel, has a Sefer Amita Shel Torah, where he argues, he takes one theory, and he says, it's not just that the Kohen and the Mitzora are opposites. Specifically, as we said, the Kohen, his role in this whole thing, what makes him the anti-Metzora, right, the one who makes someone a Metzora and solves it, is because, as he points out, the Koach HaDibur, right, his ability to speak. Right, he's imbued with this power of speech. And he notes that according to Unkelis, right, the power of speech is the expression of Tzelem Elokim. Right? Unkelis famously translates Tzelem Elokim, to be divine is to be a ruach mimalila. And the Koach HaDibur is emphasized here, that his speech, by saying he's Tameh, he becomes Tameh. By saying he's not Tameh, and bring him through the process, he becomes Tor. And not only that, the Kohen throughout the Torah, his role, in addition to the role of Avodah, he is the Midaber, he is the teacher, he is the Posek, as we saw in Shemini, Lehorot, right? He has this spiritual role that he manifests through his speech. So he suggests that perhaps what Chazal saw was that the Kohen's role as this speaker who channels God's presence, right, and God's will and God's word is emphasized throughout the parsha of the Metzora. And the Metzora is the anti-Kohen. So it must be, if he's the anti-Kohen, he's the anti-expression of Tzelem Elokim. He must be misusing his Koach HaDibur. So he said, where did Chazal get the notion that, or why did they extend from Miriam and say that Lashon Hara in general will be punished with Sarat? Because they saw that the Metzora is the anti-Kohen as expressed as this holy speaker in the parsha of the Metzora, the person who is capable of giving and taking away Tumah simply by speaking. So that's one possibility. Others point out other things, and they note that the Kohen, part of the role of the Kohen, or the whole role of the Mikdash, is that everything in Mikdash goes exactly according to the instructions. There's no role, for the Kohanim at least, for subjectivity. The whole greatness of the Beis HaMikdash is that's where Kasher Siva Hashem Es Moshe, everything is done exactly as Hashem told Moshe. There's no, I'm doing it my own way. No, the greatness of the Mikdash is that you say, God said how He wants to be served, and I'm going to subjugate myself to that. Now, there are other times when we do encourage subjectivity, but not the Mikdash. The Mikdash, which is the epitome of holiness, we have to, you don't like this raisin? Okay. Which is the epitome of holiness. So in the Mikdash, you need to say, in order to reach that holiness, at some level I need to recognize that God knows something that I don't. He wants to be served in a way I can't understand, and I'm not going to try to impose my own will. And when, let's say, Nadav and Avihu try to overstep that bound, they get killed. Because in the Mikdash, you can't do that. You can't bring in Esh Zara. If we look at some of the other Avero that Chazal identified, like Gasus HaRuach, right? Like haughtiness, in that sense, they're looking, well, the Kohen is defined by his ability to subjugate his will, so the Metzora must be the anti, right? The anti-anav, against that, so he is Gasus HaRuach. Additionally, the Kohanim are a non-Shevet, right? They're Shevet, non-Shevet. They're dispersed throughout Klal Yisrael, and part of their role is to unify Klal Yisrael. They're found in every Shevet. Right? They're the teachers of everybody. They do everyone's work in the Beis HaMikdash. They don't belong to any Shevet. Right? Their work is in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is specifically Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim. Beis HaMikdash is the place where all of Klal Yisrael is unified. Well, if that's the case, that part of the Kohen's role is to express the unity of Klal Yisrael, then the Metzora again, Lashon Hara, breaks up the unity. Tzoros Ha'ayin, stinginess, right? Caring about yourself and not others. Right. Again, fits in that anti-Kohen model. So I think we can't necessarily flesh out every idea within it. I'm going to take a different idea tomorrow in the Drasha, another aspect of this. But I think even just noting this, just noting that the Metzora is set up as the anti-Kohen, both in the process of the Tumah and Tara, and that the Kohen, rest later, okay, and that the Kohen is responsible for his Tumah and Tara, gives us a window into why it is that Chazal saw in this, saw in this punishment, sins that specifically seem to be the antithesis of the Kohen's unique role. Bringing, opposing unity in Klal Yisrael, arrogance is opposed to the ability to subjugate, etc. And I'll just note, just one last point, is that the Metzora in Chazal and in the Psukim, Aaron, when describes Miriam, is described as dead, right? He's parallel to a dead person. Right? Chazal play up on this a lot, but it's even in the Psukim. To the point where the Kohen, who is Metaher, is described as someone who can bring back someone from the dead. And in the story in Melachim Bet, where Naaman is coming to be purified, and he asked the king of Yisrael to purify him, so he says to him, the king responds and he says, "Vayomer ha'elokim ani la'amidu l'achayot." Am I God that I can bring back someone from the dead? Which tells you that Tanakh views the process of bringing someone back from Tzarat as, right, using your Dibur to do Triyas HaMesim, essentially, which only highlights that point, that if the Kohen here is seen as being godly, right, as we said, expressing Tzelem Elokim to the point where he's basically bringing someone back from the dead through his Koach HaDibur, again, we understand why the Mitzorah, Chazal think, is primarily responsible of violating his Koach HaDibur, and that's why the Kohen is so central, because the Kohen gets to be a Kain God who brings him back from the dead through his speech, so must be the Mitzorah is the anti-Kohen. So that's just some thoughts on the Mitzorah, and you can look for more of the parallels as you go through the Parshios. Have a good Shabbos HaGadol, and this was the last Parshan Kugel, so see you next year.
Thank you, Genesis, the Grauer family, again, for sponsoring.